Buying a car sucks. TrueCar.com is changing that forever. It's simple, it's fair, it's a fun way to buy a car. TrueCar users save time and money, helping them to never overpay.
You know you get the fair price because they show you what others paid for the car you're looking for. TrueCar analyzes what people are paying for their cars in your market and shares it with consumers so they never have to overpay.
Genius. Over a million cars have been sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, and users see an average savings of $3,046 off MSRP. Drew, stifle yourself. Three steps here.
All right.
Go to TrueCar.com. Yeah. All right was not stifling yourself. Go to TrueCar.com. Find out what other people paid.
Then register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings certificate.
Then take it to the TrueCar Certified Dealer for a hassle-free buying experience.
Save time, save money, never overpay. TrueCar.com.
Hey, I'm Adam Carolla.
I'm Dr. Drew.
And we are here to ask you to do us a little favor. If you like what you hear, share it with a friend.
Nice. Keep the pirate ship afloat, right?
Yeah, well, that's the only advertising we got. Thank you in advance for telling a friend, and enjoy the show.
This is Carolla Digital. Recorded live at Carolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice but get on mandate. Get it on. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for giving us a nice shout-out, a rating on iTunes, and watching us climb the charts. Somebody you know from my podcast who just came in with Barry Zito, I'd say about 2 years ago, and just knocked our socks off and has been back ever since. Kelly James in studio. Good to see you, Kelly.
You too.
Kelly is a musician, an artist, a freestyle artist, and just an unbelievable talent. There's not, you know, Drew, how I judge all art and all endeavors.
You never judge.
No, look, when I see the abstract painter who paints the giant orbs that are 9 feet around on a 12-foot canvas and yells, he says, "Behold
greatness,"
through his goatee, and I think to myself, if I got high enough and you gave me a fucking bucket of gesso, I could knock that shit out with my bad hand. That's when you see. But when you see Rembrandt do something and you see the definition, for me, it's the hand. When you see a hand painted and you see the bones and the ligaments and the veins and the striations and everything, and you go, wow, I could never, never do that. Well, when you hear Kelly play, you go, oh, I could.
Yeah.
I could never. Yeah. I could never do that. That's kind of my problem with Bob Dylan.
Because he doesn't play that way?
Well,
you feel
first
like you could
off,
do that?
I think I could write the lyrics, like, "Ain't Gonna Work on Maggie's Farm No More."
Yeah.
And then say it 122 times. I think I could do that. I think that's in my range. Then in terms of the harmonica, just exhaling and inhaling into it as hard as I can, I'm pretty sure I could do it. I've heard my kids do it. And other than that, I think I could have pulled that one off.
That's good. Good for you.
But not Kelly. Nope. I couldn't pull his off. Good to see you, Kelly.
You too. Thanks for having me. Congrats on 5 years.
Thank you. Thank you for the nice bottle of red wine.
Absolutely.
What?
Confiscated it already. He bought me a nice bottle of red wine for
5 year anniversary.
Yeah, it's been 5 years.
You've been at sale for 5 years.
Been at sea, yeah.
Sometimes adrift, but mostly at sale.
That's right. Website, kellyjames.com. The album is The Pattern Transcending. And what you do is you get it on Amazon. You go through AdamandDrDrewShow.com. Put a little wind in the sails of the pirate ship. Has been nice. 5 years. No boss. Although, Kelly, I don't know if you feel like you have a boss, and Drew, if you feel like you have a boss, but this whole, your boss is the one who's, you know, this, if I, there's a lot of people listening thinking, if I didn't have a boss, I wouldn't have any problems.
No, yeah.
Being your own boss just comes with a new set of different problems.
Absolutely. 100%.
Right?
Yeah.
Kelly, you're not, you don't have a boss per se.
No. And the worst part is most people hate their boss, and then you become your own boss and you start to hate yourself at some point. Like, what decisions am I making right now that are ruining things, and why am I doing this way?
It gives you, at least with the boss, you can channel something, some
focus it.
A direction.
Yeah.
It's interesting, Drew. You didn't grow up poor. Kelly, I don't know how you grew up. Poor, middle class.
I was somewhere in the middle.
There is there's the one thing I miss about being poor is the notion that if I just had some money, then I could have that car and I could have that townhouse or that condo.
And everything would be
great.
And
I'd have a credit card.
Yeah.
And I could eat out like two nights a week.
Yeah.
And when Christmas rolled around, I could go to Maui for 8 days. And then I'll be happy.
Yeah. The crazy thing about the human.
It's that carrot that's always out there on the poor stick.
The human adjusts to anything.
That's right.
Anything becomes common, gets sort of routine to a human.
No, that's what I tell people all the time. They're like, I want that's my dream car. It's like, don't make it your everyday car. Because whatever car you're driving, it will be
the car you're driving.
It will be the car you're driving. Yeah. I don't care how nice it is. Lamborghini, Bugatti Veyron, $1.3 million. It does not matter if that's your everyday car. Oh, for the first four times you drive it, and then you get a little booster shot once every 4 months when you pull up to a restaurant and somebody goes, "Hey," now and you realize, "Oh, hey!" But every other day, you jump it in, burger and fries on the passenger seat, sliding around. You're trying to, you know, drink your Starbucks as you're driving the thing between your legs.
Yeah.
It just is. Yes?
Yep.
Drew, what is that? That just
well,
is.
Well, that's a human thing. We adjust to good and bad, and everything becomes background. You know what I mean? But by the same token, one of the things that is really interesting is that when really horrible things happen to us, like let's say you break your neck and you're stuck in the happiness scales sort of remit towards the mean. You sort of go back towards normal happiness even when you're in a miserable situation.
Yeah, I don't.
Which is weird.
I think if you hooked people up to a hapometer, and said, "Oh, people in wheelchairs versus able-bodied people," as a matter of fact, I feel like everyone I see in a wheelchair generally is in a better mood than able-bodied people.
Yeah.
Do you feel that way, Kelly?
I mean, I guess it's all relative.
Well, they're at Disneyland most of the time.
They're right in the front of the fucking line. Fat faking ass. Bullshit.
But there is. I have noticed. I actually personally kind of disagree with that. I've had a different experience with that data. Like you say, the car, for instance. I mean, there. I have that Porsche SUV. Mm-hmm. I've had it for 10 years. It's an old car now. It makes me feel good. I still feel good about it when I get it. I still like it. It's not just my background. You know what I mean?
Well,
it was
always
the best car, my favorite car, and every time, I still feel kind of good about it every time.
No, I agree. Your house is your house and your TV set's your TV set. But generally, if you're looking at 60 inches worth of TV versus 24.
No difference.
No. I'm going with you.
All right. For you. For me, it would make
a difference. No, you're right in that you're watching the Super Bowl. You're watching the Super Bowl.
Right.
It doesn't really matter what. You could be watching on the back of a headrest on a JetBlue flight, and you're still watching the Super Bowl. It is insane that we're living in a time where in people's houses is a 65-inch television set, but in your phone is a 2-inch television set, and you're still watching the same shows.
Yeah.
And probably enjoying the same amount. Look, get a good car, get a good TV set. I'm just saying get a good wife. But at a certain point, that will just be. At a certain point, Billy Joel looks at Christie Brinkley and goes, tired of fucking that.
I don't have that much. Honest to God, I don't have a lot of that. That stuff wears off on me. It doesn't.
Well, that, my friend, I think it's the key to happiness.
Yeah, I feel
Kelly,
very fortunate about
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, an important part is, you know, for me always was the next thing. What's the next? If I could get that, then everything's going to be good. And then you get that and you realize, all right, well, it's the next thing and the next thing. And
What I'm seeing in my life, and this just may just be me, when I get that, whatever that is, it makes me happy. It does. And it stays that way for a long time.
That is...
I have that. I definitely...
Is that gratitude or what is that?
Maybe. I have a lot of gratitude. Maybe I'm discerning. Maybe I really know what I want kind of thing. You know, and
but
it's when I get it, I'm like, I'm really... That's it. That's what that was it.
How do you balance that then against going out and getting some, so to speak?
Getting more, you mean?
Well,
I still have some of that.
What I'm saying is Jay Leno's put together a crazy world class car collection.
Yeah.
All right. Then there's the guy who you see the guy. He's down your street. He's got that Stepside 51 Ford pickup truck, and yeah. It's his baby.
Yeah.
And every weekend when you come out, he's waxing that thing. Yeah,
he's probably happier with that than Jay is with his museum.
He is, because he's having a one-on-one relationship, a long-term one-on-one relationship with his baby versus what's the next get.
What do I acquire next? Let me ask this, because I bet you Jay has some sort of experience like this. I bet at some point he built his museum where it was like, now this really makes me happy, but he never loses the. But I wonder if I can the next. You know,
it's always on to the next.
It's always on to the next. But still, I bet there was a point where it really made him happy. You know what I mean? I bet.
Well, here's the question then, Drew and Kelly: how is it if you're leading a simple life where you're satisfied with that 51 Ford pickup truck that's your baby?
That's so simple, by the way. Yeah. Okay.
Well, you're not. But what I'm saying is no. You're happy with that. You got that one truck in your garage.
Yeah.
And you're very happy. And every weekend, you know, you take it out to Cars and Coffee, or you take it out to Bob's Big Boy on a Friday night and walk around and see the guys, come back, polish it the next weekend. Yeah. The thing's worth $9,000.
Yeah.
You've had it for 21 years, and you can't stop talking about it.
Yeah.
And there's a part of me that thinks, what a dullard. And another part of me thinks that guy's blessed because he's really enjoying the shit out of that thing. But it's not a good way to feather your nest.
No,
if
I understand.
If you're thinking about going out and earning and making more and acquiring more cars, it'll go up in value and so on and so forth, sticking to the one is okay. On the other hand, being on the treadmill.
Yeah, I understand that.
How do you balance that?
And maybe that's the difference between people that are super successful and people that are not. Because I look at Leno and go, I don't have that energy. Mm-hmm. I don't have that. Yeah. I got it. I'd stop. At a certain point, I'd burn out.
Well, but both
it would never end.
Both of you are amazingly successful humans. Were there points?
Amazingly, Adam. Amazingly.
Incredibly. All those adjectives that you want to throw in there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, were there points in your careers where you said, man, if I got my own show, that's where things would be good? And now you have 42 shows.
Let me answer that on your behalf. I don't think we never have that, it's just that's going to make it, mm-hmm. right? We don't have that kind of, here's the line. Once I cross that, I'm good.
No.
We're just like, we're on a treadmill.
Was there ever a point at the beginning where you said, what?
Never. It was just a treadmill. It's like, what's now? But I did have a point where I felt like more secure financially. And that made a huge difference for me. I felt a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
I felt a lot better. And so there was that, but I still felt like, well, what's that? What are we doing? But that's more of a creative impulse. Mm.
But
anything else.
I mean, you got to realize everybody in this room is a gun for hire.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's not so different than when I was swinging a hammer, which is if I rolled my ankle playing some pickup hoops on a Sunday and I couldn't get into work Monday and Tuesday, I didn't get paid for Monday and Tuesday. Now, what we're doing is a higher dollar version of that. But you still don't show up. You don't get paid.
Yeah.
You get paid more when you do show up, but it's still, there isn't that, well, I got 27 years in as a postal sorter, and I got time in, or, you know, I talk to guys, and my stepdad worked for Lockheed for, 35 years, he's retired.
Yeah.
He's fine. You know, I have a friend who's a fireman, started when he was, 21, now he's 47, he's going to work two more years and then he'll get the same pay. Now the pay is not going to be a ton of money, but it will be the same pay for not working.
You're not going to get that pay when you stop
working. For the rest of his life.
Yeah.
I get no pay
right.
if I stop working. So it's always been and every once in a while, something comes around where you get a contract in our business. Contracts can be modified. Number one, they can go, we'll give you $1 million a year for the next 5 years. And then you get to year two and they go, yeah, we want to renegotiate this thing. It's not quite working out how we thought it would. Number one. But number two, they're not really handing out those contracts anymore.
No.
It's pretty much, what have you done for me lately? Kelly James, you want to get paid? Show up.
Yep.
Play your music. We'll give you a check and you go home.
Dance monkey dance.
But if you choose not to show up, that's okay. You just don't get your check.
So I have a question. You talk about the treadmill. Is there a point where you ever thought about that fantasy idea of I'm going to go live in Costa Rica or some random island, take the family
there? It has occurred to me a little bit lately, I've got to admit. But I enjoy what I do so much, I don't want to. Mm-hmm. I really – that's where – again, I have a lot of gratitude. I have tons of gratitude. I'm so grateful that I feel like I can make a difference and I enjoy what I'm doing and hang out with guys like Adam or tolerant guys. Just saying. Mm-hmm. And so I don't really want to. Though it has occurred to me lately, I must tell you.
Sit on a beach, eat bananas, have a couple
beers. I think I'd be miserable
doing
that. I could do it for a while, but I think I'd get a little weird after a while.
Well, I think what we're ultimately talking about here is not relaxing. It's doing what we want to do on our terms when we want to do it, which could require a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's not the Mai Tai thing. It's the I'm going to work on something that I'm passionate about, that it's important to me, but how do I do that if I got to be on the road all the time with my guitar? Mm-hmm. I mean, you may have a project. Maybe you have a documentary you want to do. Maybe there's a book you want to write. Maybe there's a whatever, but you got to do a gig.
Absolutely.
And you got to hit the road.
Absolutely.
And you got to pay the bills. And you like what you do, but there's also that point of, your time on this planet is growing shorter, and you want to, I feel, not so much legacy, but I feel like there's a few, I want to leave a couple of business cards and maybe a shelf talker behind, as they call them, in the booze business. I want something to leave behind. I'd like something that somebody could reference when I was gone.
Shelf,
you know what
talker.
I mean?
The last time you used a term like that was reference to Monica Lewinsky.
Mm-hmm. Shelf talker?
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean?
I don't think it was Chugs Cox.
Oh. That's different.
Different? It's different?
That's different.
Jesus. Shelf talker.
Jesus Christ.
You know what's a shelf talker? Not going to the post office.
Oh, that's a
Stamps.com, baby. Stamps.com. You've probably heard the cost of stamps went up to 49%, 49 cents. 49
what?
Cents. Except all the stamps in my home are 44 cents.
Mm.
And no one told me when I went up to 49 cents.
These are not just first world problems, people. These are real problems.
If you want to use a letter, send a letter, you've got to know the postage. And now with stamps.com, you'll pay less because you're not putting the two 44 cent postage stamps on there like I do. You can print your own specie, your own stamps.
Oh, and we see, will give what I you, do is I just tear a corner off.
Tear it
one
in half?
Of the 40, not in half.
Oh, just one little piece of it.
I don't need 22 cents. I just need like 9 cents.
Yeah.
I just tear a little corner. But it always comes back.
Buy and print discounted stamps.
Beautiful mosaic returns to me.
Shipping labels using your own computer, your own printer. You never have to go to the post office again. And we have a special offer. Enter promo code ADS. That's for Adam and Drew Show, ADS. For a no-risk trial, $110 bonus offer. It includes a digital scale. So you can weigh any packages you might want to send to give them exactly the proper postage. And then $55 of that postage will be free. $55 free postage. Go to stamps.com. Mm-hmm. And before you do anything else, click the microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in ADS. That is stamps.com, promo code ADS.
So, Kelly, Liquid Soul Fest in Glendale, Arizona, coming up March 15th, by the way. Who else is going to be at this event?
Some pretty great bands. I mean, bands that I definitely listened to growing up. Fuel is going to play. Buck Cherry is going to play. Tonic's actually opening for
Tonic.
Us, which is crazy.
True. And, you know. Buck Cherry and Tonic.
I haven't seen those guys in a long time. Yeah. Tonic. I love those guys, though.
Yeah. Everclear is going to be there, too.
Yeah, two stages. I think Train's going to be there. So we got pretty lucky with the slot we got. And,
I like to mix a little Everclear with my Tonic. What was Tonic's hit?
Cake and Tonic, and I used to confuse them somehow because they'd come through the studio about the same time.
Yeah,
back
now,
in the day.
Yeah,
there they are.
That's right.
Great song.
See, Drew and I were all over K-Rock and Loveline and stuff back when all these guys were passing up and passing through.
Yeah.
You know, so they'd always be coming through, and we'd run into them on the road doing these various concert things and stuff.
Did we run into Tonic? Cake, I think we ran into, no?
Cake we ran into in like San Luis Obispo.
Yeah, yeah.
Cake we'd run into. Tonic, see, I would want, dude, I don't know, we'd go to Boston, they'd do the WHF Festival, you know, and all these bands would be floating around, you know, circa 1997, you know, and all these big bands would just be rolling around in the paddock in the back of the place. And
you know what's interesting about the 90s and grunge is I talked to somebody like who's in his 30s yesterday who was in high school and college in the 90s. And he was saying, you know, the music in the 80s was all about let's party and have sex. And then the fear of AIDS was so profound for us young people mm-hmm. in the 90s that grunge music was the only thing that made sense. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, I'm on my own shit. I'm hanging about myself. I'm depressed. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was an interesting interpretation.
I'm beating off into a flannel shirt on my own. Yeah.
You're afraid of AIDS.
If you want to watch, that's your prerogative. Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
In my refractory period, we can head and get a coffee. But tonight, I'll be beating off in a flannel shirt again. And then big Soundgarden kind of lick comes in, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Chris Cornell screams over that. It's a hit, you know?
Beating off in his flannel shirt.
That band would have been on Loveline in 98.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, yeah. Right.
97.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, they sung, yeah. And then we'd have to have an acronym. Let's see. Yeah, those guys, yeah, they sing boyfs. That's the beating off in the flannel shirt. Yeah. Those guys, what happened to that, man? So, yeah, and then there'd be a radio boyfs. Version. There'd be a radio version I'd have to cut. I was hanging out in a flannel shirt. And everybody would go, yeah, but you know what he was really saying.
The
real song.
The boy song.
Avoiding AIDS with my flannel shirt. Easy on the frappuccino.
There is nothing worse, though, when you have that song that you believe is one way. And because you've only heard the radio edit, and you're like, man, I really like that hanging out in a flannel shirt song. And then you hear the real version right. somewhere in like a club at 3 in the morning in New York. And you're like, right. Oh, my God, that's what it is?
He's beating off in his flannel. I thought he was hanging. I had this guy
playing that song for my mom.
I had this guy standing on a corner in his flannel shirt smoking, looking cool. Waiting for a pedicab that never showed. I didn't know he was beating off in his flannel shirt. All right. So Kelly James is here. Kelly, your life is what? Just touring, playing, and touring, cutting records or albums or whatever the hell we're calling them.
Yeah, whatever you call it these days.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of both. I mean, last year we did 120 shows. I stayed independent, so a big piece of keeping the train rolling is the live show. You know, you don't have a huge marketing machine behind you, so you know, getting out there, seeing the fans, playing every show that you know kind of comes across that makes sense. You know, it's sort of the model of what we've done. I'm sorry,
enjoy it.
I do. I mean, you know, again, like we had spoke about before, I almost think it's silly sometimes to get paid for it and be able to do all these incredible things. You know, when it's something I love. To your point, though, Adam, it definitely, you know, this year we're probably slated to do about 150 shows.
Oof.
And, you know, I write all the music. I write for TV and film. I have my hands in some other different things. So it's all passions, but at the same time, being your own boss, there's definitely times where I want to quit.
Well, there's
just
also,
'cause I hate my boss.
There's also this thing, too, Drew, where you may love what you do, but as the great Bob Seger and let's see, Jackson Brown sung. You know, there's a whole nother part. You got to get there.
Yeah, yeah, I
get
it.
Set up.
I know that's where your head's at these days.
No, it's just there's a part that you
it's
don't
hard.
Like that leads into the part that
yeah,
you do
I don't like.
Like
switching time zones.
Right.
That bugs me.
I don't. Why such a puss with that stuff, Drew?
Because it's been this year since my surgery.
You've always been a little bit of a puss.
Little bit, yes. But
you've
now
always been like, well, you know what time it is for me right now.
Yeah, it fucks me up. But now it really fucks me up.
Why, though? Why does it fuck you up?
I'm a puss.
Do you just focus on what it is in California all the time?
See,
for me, I'm on that page where I go, it's 12 o'clock. I could be in London. We could be in Sydney. It's 12 o'clock.
No, I literally try to stay in California time because I'm doing a radio show at 10 to midnight California time. So wherever I am, that slot remains the same.
I feel like whatever time it is where I land is whatever time it is for me right now, whether I'm back the next day or there for a month.
I wish.
Well, it's not. Well, first off, Drew, you got to, you know, have a couple glasses of red wine if you're going to try to knock yourself down at what would be 9 p.m. for you, except for it's midnight now on the East Coast and you're doing Howard Stern at 6:30 in the morning.
Basically, drink more is the... Yeah.
Well, okay.
Magri is the solution to time zone problems.
Well, no, I'm saying you're going to have to adjust accordingly. Don't expect just to have your head hit the pillow at, you know, what is 9 o'clock for you the day before and pass out when you're used to going to work at 10 o'clock at night. All right. Let's see. Phone calls, questions. We have answers. Ah, Hollywood Improv. I'll be at the Melrose Improv in Hollywood this Saturday night. Two shows. So come on out and say hi. Also, Redondo Beach. That's 27th. We're doing a big legal defense fund for those patent trolls. And Kimmel's going to be there. And Drew's going to be there. And Kevin Bean, Mark Maron, much more, many more. Should we hop to the top here?
Yeah.
Talk to Wilmer. Is that Wilmer?
Wilmer. Yes, sir.
Wilmer, 24. What's going on?
Ace man, Dr. Drew, Kelly James, get it on.
Get it on, man. What's happening?
Yeah, I got a question. I went to see a therapist not too long ago, and ever since she told me that based on what I was going for, I seemed to have a big lack of empathy, starting to kind of notice it. Like, I barely go by reason and almost always by, like, what I think is logical or by reason.
Uh-oh.
And there's hard,
wait a minute.
I mean,
you don't go by reason?
Only goes by reason. He doesn't empathize with anybody.
Okay.
All right.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah. I mean, and it's like, I'm starting to, like, notice it's like a trend. A lot of people say, like, I'm dry. Like, mostly personal relationships, not, like, acquaintances and stuff, like, with the family and stuff. Like, a lot of times I go out and they'll say I'm dry, or you're not this, or you're not that, and it's like...
All right, so here's the deal. People that don't have empathy usually aren't particularly good at intimacy. They can't connect to their own emotions. Mm-hmm. They can't connect to somebody else's emotions. And so the function of being close to another human fully, like you're and when I'm my book is about this. It's finally going to come out one of these days.
Oh, really?
But it's about how two human bodies next to each other relate, and we actually know what the biology is of that interconnectivity now. And people that have no empathy don't do that so well. And the other people pick up on the lack of empathy and don't like to be around it because you don't feel understood or appreciated or seen.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense, Wilmer?
Yeah, that, like, because it's, I had to stop going for, it was, like, some personal reasons, like, sort of financial also to the therapist, and it's, like, but it's, like, that always, like, struck a chord with me, that once she said it and, like, introduced that idea to me, I think about it, like, I dwell on it, and it's, like, I start to see, like, I start to see my relationships with people a little bit differently.
Good. Well, now, why don't you work on being, empathy is something that comes late in human development, and it's considered sort of the highest order of what humans are capable of. Why don't you work on it? Why don't you try to attune to what other people are experiencing? Try to see their point of view. Try to understand what they're experiencing. Try to feel it.
Lately, I've noticed that I'm kind of doing it more. Not like it's sort of like I notice it involuntarily. Like I'm sort of doing it before.
Good.
Wouldn't happen at all.
Okay, cool. So what's the question?
Yeah.
Do you have a girlfriend?
Well, yeah. I'm in a relationship. Yeah.
All right. So act as if.
Oh, it's a little different with empathy. Is that what you do?
I don't know. What I have is, I mean,
you have a kind of empathy, I think.
Well, no. First off, I have a lot of, if it comes down to me or you, it'll be you for me. If it comes down to who gets a marginally bigger piece of the pie, it'll be you. I'm very much that way in my dealings with people. I'm not greedy or what have you.
Yeah.
Everything for me is based on your performance or what you – here's what I am. I hate it when people don't deserve things and they get a lot.
Yeah.
And I hate it when people – do deserve it and don't get anything.
Yeah.
It's very much what you do.
Yeah.
And
that's your compass thing. You have that compass. You have a scale of justice in your head all the time.
I have a very much where I'm at with people.
Mm-hmm.
People to me fall under the heading of it's pretty simple. It's you owe me, or I owe you, or we're even. And if we're even, and the cab pulls up at the same time, I'll let you get in the cab. But if it's you owe me and the cab pulls up, I'm getting in the fucking cab. And if not, you jump in front of me and get in the cab even though you owe me, we're not talking again.
But what if that person who owes you is has a lame leg and is in pain, still owes you? Can you appreciate that other person's position to the point that you can move them ahead of you?
Yes, I will factor that in. But my basic the way I basically go through life is everybody has. I don't feel about you the way I feel about you. I feel about you the way you get me to feel about you. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly how I think of you.
Okay.
And I don't know if you know that to be true or not true.
Well, know that to be true about you?
Yeah.
I know that to be true. That makes sense based on how I know you.
I treat everyone exactly how they get me to feel about them.
Yes. You're very fair that way.
Right. Yeah. So I may be a dick to one person and nice to the other person. That's only because the other person.
Right. You treat Ray one way, treat me another way.
Yeah. No. We worked at Loveline for a million years.
Yeah.
Brian got treated one way and Anderson got treated another way.
Right.
Anderson was a dick to me. Brian wasn't.
Right.
So I treat him different. It's not, you shouldn't be nice to people that are dicky to you, and you shouldn't be dicky to people that are nice to you.
Right.
All right. Why? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
We would go on the road.
You and I. Yeah.
Sometimes people would run up and go, oh, I'm a huge fan. Could I get a picture? And I put my arm around and take a picture.
Yeah.
And then sometimes someone would run up and go, what gives you the right? And I go, beat it. Get out of my face.
Say scram, to be fair.
Right. What's the difference?
Yeah.
Same person.
Yeah.
Just different airport.
Yeah.
One, you embrace. The other, tell them, fuck off. What's the difference? Well, it's their attitude. I don't know them. They brought it into this little snow globe I'm living in, and they either brought some perfume or they farted.
I'm just thinking about the guy that
in my snow globe
made you
beating off in a snow globe.
I was thinking,
don't shake me now. I'm beating off next to a flannel shirt in a snow globe now.
Yeah. I thought it was, I'll be off into the snow globe.
Yeah.
Beating off in the snow
globe. I thought it was a whole metaphor for being trapped.
That absolutely, Grandma, I'm sorry. Father McConaughey, I didn't realize that the church would be inappropriate.
Yeah, yeah. And you got the marching band to play the ba-da, ba-da, the guy with the glockenspiel, ba-da, ba-da, da-da, 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 da. You didn't know it was beating off.
I'll be off into the snow globe.
That was the first dance of my wedding.
Play that at my best friend's funeral.
Be fair. There's a bad mood.
Because he's going up into the big snow globe, you know? I thought it was a metaphor for heaven.
Oh.
All right.
I thought for sure there's a bad moon on the right. There's a bathroom on the right.
Oh, it's on the rise.
Oh, on the rise. Whatever. Bathroom on the right was where I had it.
I've had a few guys. I had my buddy Steve a million years ago had BTO, was taking care of pistons instead of taking care of business. And I'll never forget, as an adult, my buddy Mark had the Toto song, Hold the Line. Dun, 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 dun. Love isn't always on time. I just remember, it's like we're just driving in the car, and you know, and that song comes on,
yeah.
You know, and you just
there it is.
Yeah, yeah.
He starts yelling.
Right, right. And I'll do his part, but it's that thing you notice, and you realize this song came out 16 years before this. He's been doing this for 16 years.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
He's been playing
it, right. But it also makes sense because your brain just has a sort of autocorrect.
It just locks it in, yeah.
Yeah, it goes, well, what? Hold the line doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah, your brain is always trying to make sense of things. There's
right.
Jim Jeffries. Jim Jeffries is my friend. Jim Jeffries put me on his TV show.
Oh, I love it.
My friends put me on my
all right.
shows.
All right, hold on. Those are lies! And I'm like, what? Those are lies. I'm like, No, it's Hold the Line. Oh, no, it's not. Once it's locked
those
in.
Those are lies, yeah.
And by the way,
makes more sense.
He could listen to it 270 times in a row, and if he says those are lies when they say hold the line, that's what it is.
Yeah, your brain does that all. But the instinct about the human brain, the frontal cortex, is it does that with just about everything. It's always trying to make sense of stuff, like our feelings and our thoughts and our behaviors and our impulses. This rational brain is going, well, that's why you want to do that, because you know that. No, you're
right.
Doing some irrational fucking trauma reenactment.
All right. Kelly has brought his guitar. He's going to sing Beaten Off into a Snow Globe.
I'll be in the snow globe. I'll be off into the snow globe.
We're going to set him up. We'll take a quick break. Kelly James will play for us next. BarkBox. Love these guys. You love your pooch? I love my pooch. I love my little Molly girl. Always bite off more than you can chew with BarkBox. It's a monthly box filled with 4 to 6 full-size products. Innovative, durable toys, leashes, treats, and more, all made in the USA. 100% natural elk, caribou, wild boar. Jeez, I'm getting hungry. Lean wild meats to keep your dog fit and healthy. 3 monthly plans tailored to your dog's size. BarkBox, committed to helping homeless dogs. 10% of the revenues go to shelters across the U.S. and Canada. Save 20% on your new subscription by visiting BarkBox.com/Adam. That's BarkBox.com/Adam. And let's not forget the pooch.
Hi, I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And this week, on This Week with Larry Miller, I get to talk about a friend and a talent who just passed away a few days ago on the Magic Movie Moment. His name is Harold Ramis. So listen for free through iTunes or visit LarryMillerPodcast.com. We'll see you here.
Back with Dr. Drew, myself, and our friend Kelly James. That's Kelly James. Kelly's going to play for us in just a second. The Pattern Transcending, name of the album. You know where to get it. Amazon, you know what to do. Website, kellyjames.com. Twitter, your boy, KJ. Drew, what's the name of your book then when it comes out here?
No book. Yeah, it's Restoring Intimacy is what the tentative name is. I don't know when we finally get it all done. It's been working on it for like 2 years. It's a comprehensive discussion of the topic.
I got a little book called President Me, which is available for pre-order on Amazon. Click through the link. You know how it goes. All right. Kelly is going to, as promised, perform live for us, and then talk a little more. I got a story here about e-cigarettes.
I want to
get the Drew's take on. But first, a little Kelly James.
This is a song called California. It goes like this. California, you got me running back again, yeah. California, always beat me to the end with California, ha-ha. You got me running back again, yeah. California, you got me running back again. You got me running back again. I wanna go to Tahoe. Summertime, 4th of July. Fireworks on a speedboat or on a big slow. Fresh powder modest camp with Bonzo boys and a little bit of Casamigos. And I know if you took me down south, I would stay surfing waves every day in San Diego. Then we go up to LA studio. Then dinner with Bronny and Zita with Mateo. They always try to take me away, but my heart and love will always stay. Yeah, in California, you got me running back again. Yeah, California, always with me to the end. Well, California, ha-ha, you got me running back again. Yeah, California, you got me running back again. You got me running back again. On a warm fall day, Santa Barbara's where you find me. I had to get an IV after not an IV. I love the smell of NorCal nestled in the pine trees. Humboldt County in the sky like I was a chimney. If it gets windy out in Pebble Beach, we sit by the fire, Spanish Bay, and try to teach our girls about whiskey, but they just go in reach for mixed drinks and nerd out on Pete like my name was Screech. And they always try to take me away, but my heart and love will always stay. Yeah, in California, you got me running back again. Yeah, California, always with me to the end. Yeah, California, you got me running back again. Yeah, California, you got me running back again. You got me running back again. All right, Drew, I need your help.
All right.
I need you to give me, like, just a random topic or, like, a random word like anything in this whole world. Could be simple, could be complicated. There's no wrong answer.
I'm looking up at the calls up there.
All right.
All right, let's just do something easy, like psychology.
Psychology. All right, why psychology?
Because it's up there. One of our callers asked, should he pursue a graduate school degree in clinical psychology?
All right. Adam, can I get a word?
Well, I usually go with the N-word, but I'm going to mix it up.
Mangria.
Mangria. Huh? Ooh, mangria, yeah. The M-word.
All right, the M-word. All right, this is called psychology and mangria. The chorus goes like this, though. I'm beating off in a flannel shirt in my little snow globe again. Yeah, I mean, I'm going off in my flannel shirt, and I'm gonna play this song for my mama again. Yeah,
she'll
radio edit. The psychology, well, if you ask me, comes from our boy, Dr. Drew Pinsky. As you see, he's certified and has it all the time. He's got a million shows, but he's not satisfied. No, he is, because his psychology's amazing. Adam and I over here, you know, we're just hating. Like, damn, are you that happy? I just want more. Drew's like, I love life, and I walk in the door. Okay, Drew, yeah, you're a great guy. A effing model citizen, and it ain't no lie. Adam and I are depressed as shit. We're just drinking mangria just to get over it. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah, we got a lot of flavors. Mangria forever, and I ain't gonna be a hater. I drink it all the time, even in the mornings. Drew doesn't need it, cause he's never mourning. Always happy. If you ask me, Drew, that's some crazy ass psychology. Talking about the girl and graduate school. You better stay in it, man. Don't be a fool. Drew went to school for like 30 years just so he could sit here and not drink mangria and beers and be happy with his life. He's like, I'll just be happy with the one Miller Lite. Adam wants Harlan Estate or K-Miss or the Insignia. I don't know. He never misses the opportunity to get to the next rung. Drew's like, whatever. I don't need it. Some things in life need the psychology just to be happy. So you know you're here with me, Adam Carolla and Drew Pinsky. Back in the day, yeah, that was the 90s and all the bands that you used to love. You know what I'm talking about, elbows you rub with a bunch of grunge bands, yeah, you see. And then the song started to get creepy, like I'm jerking off in a flannel shirt, and I'm at Corolla Studio again. Yes, I'm doing something in a flannel shirt, and Corolla thought he was standing on the corner again. Radio edit, last verse. Psychology, the study of the mind, or the study of how the mind adapts. I don't know, I didn't do well in school, probably skipped that class. I was probably like Corolla, trying to look for some ass of a hot girl at a sorority. That was my psychology. Baby, will you be with me? USC Trojan like Pinsky, you know what I'm saying. We gonna talk about it, but I ain't playing. I said it before, yeah, well, you knowin' I was there, but you know I never knew no Trojans. That was a psychological mess up of mine. I would convince her all the time, baby, we don't need that, right? She's like, whatever, yeah, you see. She was so damn wasted on mangria with me. We were like 23 or maybe 19. Fake IDs in the club, yeah, you know what I mean. And that's all I'm talking about, freestyle flow. Thanks for having me on the Adam Carolla and Drew Pinsky show.
Woo! See, Drew, remember that part at the top of the show where I was saying Kelly does something that I can't do and you can't do and no one else?
Cannot even understand how he does.
Can do?
No.
And thus, it becomes impressive.
Yes, yes it does.
When you see someone juggle one wooden spoon, it's not that exciting because you go, I could do one wooden spoon. But when you see him do 28 wooden spoons, you go, holy shit.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Do you think when you're, or it just comes out?
It kind of comes out.
So it's, you're not like thinking ahead and then at wires.
Not really. No. I mean, sometimes, you know, things are sort of like kind of percolating in there. I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, I'm gonna watch you guys do what you do. I mean, it's the same. It's the same premise. I just do it over music and rhyme words. You guys do it on, you know, a high level of intellect that, you know, nobody can match.
Wow.
Wow. Took a compliment, threw it right back in your face. Here.
That's what happened.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely amazing. And there is this weird, always say you kind of have to be like a center fielder, which is if you see the stance of a center fielder, it's right in the middle. It's not leaning forward. It's not leaning backwards or right or to the left. But it's the stance that could get you forward, get you backward, and get you right and get you left the fastest.
Yeah.
It'll never be as fast as if you're just in a full forward stance.
Yeah.
But you may have to go backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
In which case, you're fucked.
Yeah.
So that stance is that improv stance of kind of running on the running. You can kind of tell where the ball's going as the guy's swinging, but don't start running before he starts swinging.
Interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah, Kelly probably does that, like a center fielder. Yeah, yeah. You do see as the guy's swinging the bat, you can start moving before the ball comes off the bat, but not while it's in the pitcher's hand.
Right.
And if you take a step too quick, you can get burned the other way. I mean, that, you know, when you say, there's so many times where I'll have a line in my head that I want to say so badly that's so fun, and I'll try to force it, and it won't work. Yeah. And, you know, so it's definitely got to be that stream of consciousness kind of flow, and sometimes they're great, sometimes they're not.
I've heard four of them now. They've all been great. All right, Dr. Drew. We just got this e-cigarette thing. LA moves forward on proposal to treat e-cigarettes like regular cigarettes.
I think that means that they have to smoke outside or in certain designated places, that sort of thing, or it's going to be taxed, or what is it, Gary?
I think it's
they're banned anywhere regular cigarettes
are, which
means parks.
Parks.
A bunch of different places. Beaches.
Oh, boy.
Drew, what are we? What's going on? Why are we so nutty with stuff that doesn't make a difference? And why do we have more energy for nothing and less energy for something?
I don't know.
And what I'm saying is this. There are many problems that plague our society and just about any society. There's just problems. I can kind of tell you what they are. We can just start with the family and broken families and education and kind of go down the line. Then they all just kind of spider out from that main problem.
Yeah.
But what we will never stop.
I mean, the school to prison pipeline.
Sure.
Yeah.
That right.
Yeah.
Huffington Post built that.
Yeah.
All we do is take little miniature problems and focus on them like. They're a big problem. You know what I think the psychology is to that?
Mm.
There's two pieces of psychology. I think focusing on large problems means some judging is going to take place. It's hard to really work on big problems without something going on.
Yes.
Either somebody's going to have to start passing judgment on somebody or some group, or bigger problems are just literally we're expanding the freeway and we have to buy up a bunch of houses along the freeway. That's a big problem.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to tunnel down, you know, Wilshire Boulevard to the beach.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
This is a lot less work.
Yeah.
And
this also feels like who's got a bigger dick.
And, yes.
You know what I mean? It's like this is my problem.
There's no group that's going to take a stance on smoking. Well, we're pro-smoking. How dare you?
Yeah.
Attack smoking. Number one, but The other thing I always think about is that we want to pretend that we don't have big problems, and the way to pretend like you don't have big problems is to focus on
little problems.
Chicken shit.
Yeah.
So it's a psychology, which is forget about you're the mayor of a city or the governor of a state. Let's just say you have a house. Your house has no roof on it.
Yeah.
But company's coming over, and you're putting out ribbon candy in the front and arranging it just so.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and they're coming in, and they're going, what's wrong? And you go, oh, my goodness, I was almost out of ribbon candy. And someone points up and goes, you don't have a fucking roof. And they go, hey, sir, please.
We're fine with that. We're good with that. That's
all right. No, we're not fine with it. We need to step out.
Yeah.
Step out of the party. Right. Anyway, this ribbon candy... You know, you buy it, but sometimes you don't read the expiration date.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got to go get another sack, and I have to arrange it in such a way, and then everyone just starts talking about the ribbon candy. And we really don't have to get into the part where we don't have a roof, which is not only troubling, but would require some work, a lot of work, to fix. But it's also, we're going to start judging the roofer and the guy who's running the house.
Are you saying that me without a roof says something about who I am? How dare you mention my no roof? It's shaming to me and embarrassing.
Right. So, e-cigarettes.
I can't imagine.
Who gives a fuck?
Right. Who gives a fuck? I can't imagine they're not better than regular cigarettes. They have to be safer. But the big argument is, oh, now this is going to, young people are going to want to do this. It's going to become cool and young people are going to smoke e-cigarettes. Therefore, we should discourage all e-cigarettes, even though it may really save thousands or maybe millions of lives?
Well, look,
really?
Then get, look, these are, I'll bet you the same people.
Oh my God.
I'll bet you the same people, Drew, who are saying e-cigarettes are going to cause or invite more children to smoke are the same people that are defending violent video games, saying there's no study that links violence in video games to violence as an adult. And I'm with them.
Yeah.
But they're doing the, oh, you're exposing them or making it okay to.
Yes, right.
And they're fucking hypocrites, because I bet you they're saying being exposed to things of a sexual nature does not make, you know, putting condoms in a school does not make kids have sex.
Yeah.
Well, then why is e-cigarettes make kids smoke now?
Yeah.
Which is it, Einstein?
Yeah.
You gotta be at least consistent in your retarded argument.
The other thing, which is kind of, I think, almost comical, which is no one's concerned about marijuana smoke, which is not good for your lungs, or big cannabis.
Right.
And usually you go, God, aren't you worried about – I mean, big tobacco is a horrible blight. Do you want another big tobacco called big cannabis? Oh, but cannabis is a natural plant.
Right.
Tobacco's a plant.
What
Tobacco's
do you mean?
Tobacco's a plant. I feel like Benjamin Rush in 1750 going, oh, Jesus, they're growing this tobacco shit all over the place. It's going to be a mess. Some big business is going to arrive. I feel the same way about pot. This huge business is going to
arrive. But wait, we don't import it from the planet Tobacator?
I know.
It's a synthesized.
No, it's you grown manufacture it. Yeah,
it's manufactured. Yeah, I know. Drew loves the manufactured. Like, look. Free-range chickens are manufactured. You catch them, you kill them, you strip them, you cut the meat off them, and it ends up at the Zaki Farms counter at the Gelson's. Everything gets cut down, chopped up, and served to you at some point. We don't just run around biting chickens. Yeah, tobacco gets harvested. Yeah. It gets rolled up in paper, and then sold to you. Oh, boy. Tell you, my dog. Molly, I feed her some chicken every once in a while. I try to keep her away. I got her on the Nicorette.
What if you could have something like Nicorette?
I don't want her smoking.
Chicorette?
Maybe, in the house. Maybe it's not her lungs. It's somebody, a fire
but
hazard.
What if somebody would deliver
She's got no thumbs.
Like a box to your dog every so often. Oh. Like a box of goodies. And
I got to tell you.
What?
BarkBox.com.
What? There's such a thing?
Molly is riddled with cancer. She's missing an ear. She's wearing a t-shirt around because she's chewing on her. I mean, she is a mess, and this is bringing just a little joy to what is got to be the home stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, God willing, for my checkbook of her life. She is, we get her the Bark Box, and each month they got different plans, by the way. 3 monthly plans tailored to your dog's size, by the way. But they got natural elk and caribou, not processed, man.
Ooh.
It's natural. A wild boar and other lean wild meats. So
I'm afraid
your dog
I
can
might eat when the buck shows up.
Well, when you start talking about the elk and the boar and the caribou, yeah, you could do a lot worse. All the products are made in the USA, and they got beautiful toys and leashes and treats. It's a nice way to get a little treat for your dog. BarkBox, it's committed to helping the homeless dogs. By the way, 10% of the revenue, 10% goes to shelters across the U.S. and Canada. You can save 20% on your new subscription by visiting BarkBox.com/Adam. That's BarkBox.com/Adam. All righty then. One quick phone call.
If you want.
Who do we have? Do we talk to someone? You got one you like? We'll do it quick.
Denny.
All right, Denny. Denny.
Yes, sir.
28, Salt Lake City.
Yes, sir. I'll try to make it real quick since it's a quick phone call. Privileged meeting both of you last year when you were in Salt Lake City.
Thank you.
So I've been working as a defense contractor for the past 10 years, roughly. Got a job about at 19 as a technical writer, kind of worked my way into defense contracting, business development, making a good amount of money. Decided to go back to school about a year and a half ago. I am now almost done with my bachelor's degree. Initially went back to school for communication and marketing because I thought that would help my current career path. Fell in love with psychology. Ended up changing my major, moving comm and marketing to a minor. Absolutely love psychology. Love research. Love the idea.
All righty.
Well, you got to do what you love. You're not going to make nearly as much money in defense as defense contracting. But if you really feel good about it, I can't tell you how many people I know now that made a ton of money and I look around going, well, now what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I get kind of envious of them. Like, well,
well, also, if there is something that you really love, but it traditionally doesn't pay that well,
yeah.
there are ways to get paid doing things you that love. You really love.
Yeah.
For instance, at some point, you love psychology, you work as in a clinical setting or whatever, but you do motivational speaking
right,
on weekends.
Right.
Or you
there
come
are
out
creative
with
ways
with a book,
to fight it. But
yeah.
Even so, if you love the field, you should do it. I mean, it would be much more fulfilling for you, ultimately.
All right. Kelly James, the album is The Pattern Transcending, available on Amazon. You know what to do. Website, kellyjames.com. Always love having Kelly on the program. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
And until next time, Adam Kroll for Kelly James, Dr. Drew, Chris Maxipata, and Gary Haftard saying mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.